But it's okay. Make it anyway.
I mean, seriously, how the fuck am I not being signed up? Why are people not knocking down my fucking door to sign me? Do you know what I mean? Let's go. The devil are you? Why am I back so soon? Because I've got some good shit to talk about. That's why I've hit a bit of deep house in the background. Let me set the ambiance, although I could listen to this tune all day. I sound like a fucking DJ in my head. Probably just the way I'm perceiving shit. Let me go. How the devil are you? How you been? What you been up to in this 24 hours since I last spoke to you? Hopefully, you've been doing some good shit. I am here to talk to you because I thought it was really important. Do you know what? It was the first time yesterday that I heavily reflected. I think because I'd done the podcast quite early in the evening yesterday, that I had a little bit of time. Normally, I don't. Normally, I do it about 9 o'clock, runs into 10, quarter past 10, and then I'm like, by the time I've uploaded and done all the shizzy shazzy, I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to bed. So I don't really get time to reflect on it. So when I say I don't listen back and I don't also reflect very much because I'm like downloading, I'm like, yeah, it's a small bit that I don't. And yesterday was a new experience for me. So I, by the way, excuse my Manius influenza. We'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, I just went sort of kind of, yeah, I just sort of sat down and I was like, okay, I'm going to need to reflect on this. And do you know what? I reflected on instantly. I laughed about halfway through the reflection of my podcast in my head. And I was like, you arrogant prick. I even sounded like an arrogant prick. Oh, you don't fucking sound like me. Oh, what do you mean? People say they're like me. You're not fucking like me. I sounded like a right arsehole. I was like, wow, James, you really do sometimes talk directly. And I reflected on that and thought, that's quite an arrogant thing to say. You know, no one's like me. Like, I'm special. I'm not fucking special. There's plenty of people out there that are just as batshit crazy as me, and I like that. But it was just interesting. Just a little nuance, and a little new thing that came to... And it made me sort of think, well, okay, well, you don't listen to the podcast back, James, because you don't want to hear your fucking voice. It's bad enough hearing my own voice on a normal daily basis without repeating it in my ears through a podcast. So, but hopefully that's not the same for you, and you love that shit, and you're like, give me more, pound my ears. So yeah, here we are. So I've got some stuff to talk about because it was really prevalent that I spoke today, and part of the yesterday's podcast, or the last podcast, depending on when you're listening, I spoke about an incident at work that made me feel really bad. And it sort of draws into the sometimes it's our perception. And what I mean by that is it's really interesting because it's going to feed into sort of how our perception can really, really impact our own mental state. And it's like, I mean, some people, I'm probably teaching you to suck eggs. Of course, yeah, but yes. If I perceive it as that way, then I'm, yeah, okay. Well, there's not everyone's like that. Trust me. Right down to the point where today, my team leader, absolute amazing person. She is a fantastic team leader. I gave her a Barcelona fridge magnet today because I hadn't seen her since I come back from Barcelona, and I literally was like, there you go. And she was like, oh, brilliant, James, I'm gonna, and she is, honestly, she is, I will emphasize, she's an amazing lady. And she even at the end of this conversation, she said something, but I passed it to her and she went, oh, that'll stick on my laptop really well. And I was like, no, you don't want to put a magnet on your laptop because you'll probably do some damage to the hard drive. She was like, yeah, but my phone sticks to it. I was like, yeah, because there's like a magnetic thing in there to do with the battery. And I said, it will stick that because you've got a MagSafe thing on it, so for charging, etc. I said, but don't put an actual magnet on it. So she was like, look, mate, I'm not paid for my brains. That's what she literally sat down. And she was like, but she is such an amazing lady. But it just goes to show, you know, people like nuances and everything else. So, but yeah, so I was sort of diving in, and I was reflecting yesterday on how. Oh, actually, before I get going, yeah, Manius influenza. I was fine yesterday, and then I think I've spent too much time outside. I know that Manius influenza is kind of, we play it off as a little bit of a joke, but it's quite serious. I've seen many, many strong men taken down by Manius influenza. So, you know, it's not to be fucked with, really. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I'm quite a young buck. Not as young as I used to be, but I still think I've got a bit of vigor on my side. So I'm hoping I can battle this off in a good 24 to 48 hours. But I've seen people wiped out for weeks, the vulnerable especially. And I mean, I know that we use Manius influenza for a normal reason. I mean, we don't really speak about this, but it weeds out the weak. You know, that's kind of what we do, but we keep it behind. We play it off as a little bit of a joke, like, oh, Manius influenza, like we've made this up. But, you know, you go back in time, and if you read probably an early Bible somewhere, there would have been a fucking man that wrote it in there, because I mean, it was written by a man anyway. So, you know, it's there'll be something in there about Manius Influenza, and we've just, it's lost in translation. And 21st century, we make a bit of a joke about it, but you know, it's well up there with sort of leukemia and stuff like that. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. That's fucking right. That's right, Iceman. Let's fucking go. So I was reflecting, and the reason I'm in a good mood is probably because I'm like understood a little bit about myself today. It was a kind of a quick win. But I spoke about this guy that I kind of indirectly chucked him under the bus. Didn't mean to. I genuinely didn't mean to. And he's actually a really nice guy anyway. And I took it personally because I was like, why is he not responding? And that's a personal thing. I like people to respond to me. I don't know why. I like people. I get, like I said, my mate took 30 years to understand. I'm like, you're not replying to my emails, my messages, mate. And he was like, yeah, it's all right, mate. I'm still good. We're still good. I'm like, no, mate, you're not replying to my fucking messages. I spoke this yesterday. That's how I am. If you don't reply, but then on the other flip side, I'll fucking ignore messages. So I'm like, dick. And again, that's a mental state. I'm like, I don't want to look at my fucking phone today. But then when I send something, I want, dude, I need you to respond like fucking ASAP. Let's go. And then they don't. And then I'm like, he's dead to me. Let's fucking move on. Find a new friend. You know, and then I'll start looking under rocks, and then I find a shiny rock and I'm good to go. So it's interesting though, but perception. So I perceived that, and it really affected my mood, really drove me fucking down. I went to bed early, I was shut down. And sometimes if I cast my mind back to how I used to deal with things, whereas I isolate myself now from the rejection side of things, before I used to do the complete opposite. I would isolate but stay up till fucking stupid hours watching TV or just, you know, do nothing but just completely and utterly could not switch off. So yeah, it was an interesting time. But it's how I manage it now. I shut myself down. But it was interesting. It is interesting. I came into work today and the guy walked past and I knew it was him. And I was like, oh fuck, I got an audit with him today. So I had an audit with the guy I didn't think he was coming down. I genuinely didn't. I didn't even acknowledge it. I think it's a whirlwind at the moment with me starting my new job. I'm like, fucking everything's a whirlwind. I'm just trying to get involved in loads of stuff just so I can go like, what's this, what's that, you know. I'm like a fucking shiny man with a magpie that's found some shiny shoes. And I'm like, anyway, so I dived in and it was just kind of a bit of a weird one really. And then I was sort of sat there and I was like, right, okay, hold on. I'm sorry about that. It was my bloody phone. My phone was kicking off there. So yeah. So I was just anyway. So I was sort of kind of reflecting on that. And then there was kind of like, he came in and he sat down. And sorry about that. My bloody phone. I thought it was literally going to vibrate off the table. And I was sort of chatting. And I thought it was going to be one of those days. So again, I had anxiety. I had like, fuck, I've got him all day. And then we went over and I said hello. He came around the corner and he was like, he just said to me, oh, what bike you got? Because he seen I had my helmet on. And I was like, oh, I've just got a little scooter. So, but I used to have an YZF R6 Extreme. And the conversation started going. He's like, oh, mate, I used to have a Honda CBR R1000, but one of the really old ones. And he was like, I just sold it, really gutted. And then we had this like 20-minute conversation about motorbikes. And then that sort of led into a couple of other conversations about things. And then we actually had a really good day. To the point where he kind of listened, indirectly listened. So I did pull him aside and I just let me, I'm sorry, you know, that you perceived, if you perceived how I treated you negatively. I said, I don't mean to. I'm a direct person. And then I sort of explained, I said, I just say it as it is, mate. I'm sorry. That can be come across as offensive, but I didn't mean it. I meant I was actually protecting you in terms of you shouldn't be doing that. And he went, no, I see that. And he'd had the whole day with me. So we were having a wash up at the end of the day. And he went, mate, I've seen how you work. I've seen, know your stuff. And he said, did I take offense to it? Yes, I did. Unrightly so. I said, I can see you had the best intentions. And basically, we just worked together for the rest of the day. Now, you know, I don't think we're going to be fucking going down the pub for a pint anytime soon. But it just cleared the air. It made me feel comfortable again, which was, again, I felt uncomfortable because of something that I'd perceived. And it's really interesting. And that's why I wanted to jump on today to just show you a prime example of how I'd perceived something over email as well. That's another thing I will caveat. It was over email. So emails can be read in so many different ways that I actually hate them. I prefer, I don't hate them. I actually love them. But I love them because they provide assurance, verbal assurance, written, that I know what I've done and what's happened and who's involved, blah, 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 which is a protection thing because you work in the world of health and safety. And I think a lot of people, even finance, you know, whatever, you need that protection, you need that assurance that you've done something right and you've, you know, projected it, especially if you've made some sort of arrangement, mitigation, whatever, talk about risk. You want to be open and honest about everything. But you want it written down. Verbal doesn't work like that. However, in some situations, it does work. And this probably would have been resolved and it wouldn't have even come to fruition if we'd have spoken, but we just didn't. And it was kind of like I'd received that and I went, oh, fuck, I've chucked him under the table. Maybe even like he'd perceived it as, you know, I was actually backing up what he said. I don't know. But we were sat there and he admitted. He said, yeah, I did kind of take offence. But I've seen how we work today and really good stuff. And we come out with a lot of collaboration stuff. And it was just a really positive day. So the interesting bit was how I felt last week to how I felt now would have been perceived massively on how I perceived life and the situation in hand. And it really sort of resonates with me because in anything to do with mental health, that's what we do. We perceive somebody's message or somebody's email or somebody's voice note. I mean, I think voice notes are a little bit more, a little bit easier to define how someone feels because you can tell in the tone of their voice. I think video, I do a lot of videos to people. I know people, it's crazy because people think like, what are you fucking doing sending me a video message, James? And I'm like, mate, because I just want you to see my face, my elation. I want you to know that and not get any misjudgment that I'm in a, you know, I don't want my voice to sound dull. I don't want to sound fucking like I'm off. I like a video. So it's just a personal thing because I know how easy it is to misperceive things through written. So somebody could send me a fucking message and it may be nice as pie, but I would read it as in like he's being a proper dick. Because again, it could be the mood I'm in. So it's like, and also I think that there's a happy medium between me. I get a lot of dopamine from somebody sending me a video message back. And I'm not talking about fucking anything rude, you know, but if you need my number, let me know. Joking aside, you fucking loony, James. I'm talking to myself there like a third person. So this goes to show how crazy I can be. So it's interesting how we can perceive things. So I try to mitigate that now because I don't want to feel shit. So I want somebody to know how I feel because, again, I can write things really abruptly in messages. And I can also voice note quite deeply and quite go like, fucking, right, mate, you need to fucking do this, this, this. And I can sound like, you know, quite forceful and abrupt. I don't mean to be. So sometimes when you see my face, you think, fucking hell, that mug. Do you know what I mean? But hopefully I give a little bit more character. So it's a personal preference. But at the same time, when someone sends me a video message back, the dopamine that I get is unbelievable because I feel I'm connecting with that person because we've lost that. It's almost, and I say this loads of times and you hear it quite a bit. I don't think we're as connected to the world in a positive way at all. And it isn't good for anyone's mental health. And this is the side of things that, again, gets forgotten. But we're not actually socially connected. We seem to think by people following us, people liking us, even though, say for instance, I mean, I agree with follows and likes for people that are trying to promote themselves in terms of a product, a service, whatever, like artwork, for instance. And that's why I'm probably being a little bit biased because I use Facebook for my artwork side of things. And I think it's nice to promote that side of things. But I think we're really cautious how we deal with social media when it comes to mental health because we often look at mental health like we're really connected to all these people. Look at all these fucking friends in my list. Wow, yeah, this is amazing. You know, and then you put something up and you'll get the usual one, two, threes, you know, fives, the people that will like you. But then you can also be a character assassin in that and go, well, why are the other fucking 50-odd or the other 700 people haven't fucking you know, liked it? And 9 times out of 10, it's because they're not interested. Or you met them through a fucking event, an occasion. So they're not true friends in that sense. Maybe they're not interested in that side. You know, so there's lots of nuances that go involved in social media. So we have to be really, really cautious with that. And I think that's a bit that's overlooked massively with mental health, is how we perceive life. And sometimes we think we've got loads of friends. And that's amazing. And then when we find out we haven't got so many friends, we start then worrying and we start procrastinating about that. We start getting anxiety. Why don't they fucking talk to me? I'm going to delete them. And I know that because I'm speaking from experience. Because I've done that. I've just fucking wiped. I've decimated social platforms of people that I've had really good friendships with. Because I go, no, he doesn't fucking care about me. He don't fucking. In 9 times out of 10, probably even 10 out of 10, they didn't even know they were fucking meant to be involved because I didn't talk about it.
So again, we're coming down full circle about men talking, men opening up and letting people know, and then those true people help you out. And that's how our friendship circles grow. And that's why I say work on the people around you, but you have to be open, transparent and honest to be able to get the help, to be able to recognize that you even need the help. Because just saying those words, I feel depressed, or, oh God, I've got some fucking anxiety, I'm not feeling fucking great about this. It doesn't, we need to remove the stigma from that. You know, we need to go, okay, accept that, speak openly, and then people will be like, I mean, I remember a friend of mine, I know, well, it's a shame, we're not really friends now, and I've spoken about him in a podcast, but he was actually a good friend, and I remember we were going to do a presentation, and I'm a little bit more confident when it comes to presentations. Again, the ADHD of me loves people looking at me, and I love reading the faces in the room, and I love seeing the expressions. It's just something that I feed off, and that's a real big dopamine thing for me. So people are like, you don't mind just getting up and jumping? I'm like, oh no, I'm fucking deathly scared about it. But I know for a fact that I'm driven by my brain, and I know for a fact my brain wants the dopamine because it doesn't get it naturally. So it's fucking all for it, mate, which is why I do stupid shit, because I'm like, I don't care about being the center of attention, because it's feeding me. I'm looking around and everyone's smiling and I'm getting so much joviality from that. So it's an addiction. It becomes addiction to it, and that's what it is. It's an addiction. So it's kind of, you know, you have to sort of manage these things, and you have to sort of like coax your way through, and it's like when we feed back into our sort of perception side of things, it's really interesting how it does affect everything, how it can affect your mood. Sometimes your perception over something can literally trigger an incident where you go, it might be that little tip of the iceberg, that little extra bit that we didn't need on that day or that week or that month. And I've got an example to talk to you about that, and about how not dealing with problems. And the reason I'm going to talk about this person, I'm not going to name him or anything like that, but I want to make a pertinent point here today. And I was sat down with, like I said, an old friend but a new friend, in terms of, you know, we've sort of, again, it's that reconnection thing we talk about. And he was sat down, and he's been through, we were just chatting today, and he was just like, we were just talking about life and sort of mental health, and I was talking to him about, you know, how the therapy is helping me understand a bit more about myself and why I do certain things. Again, I can't stop it because it's triggered. It's a mental thing. It's how I'm wired to deal with these things. But what I have to do is try and mitigate it by understanding how I react to these situations to make sure I try and take myself out of those situations before they occur. That's a learning process for me mentally. So I know I go into, I mean, there's some things I can't avoid, like driving, and I feel like I've got to educate every motherfucker how to drive, even though I'm the one that's driving erratically like a fucking Looney Tune. But I'm doing it professional because I'm fucking, you know, I'm Colin McRae or something, you know, I'm the guy that, you know, you're not the guy, I'm the fucking guy. So it's, but I'm not, I'm being very, very sarcastic there. So it's just interesting how we perceive. So he was just talking about his trauma, sorry, and he was like, right, and he laid these three traumas out to me when we were talking about mental health, and he was like, yeah, I think I need someone to talk to, is what he said to me. And I was like, right, okay, mate. And that was an instant trigger for me, and I instantly went, okay, cool. And I think it was nice because I could instantly feel, after it's been a few weeks, and we've had a bit of chatting, and we've been to the gym and stuff, you know. So it's kind of, he sat down, and I could see he felt comfortable. He was like, in fact, he messaged me first thing in the morning, said, I want to come over. He was on his own this week. I said, mate, fucking come on in. And he sat down, and he laid out these three traumas. And I went, right. He said, I think you need to talk. I said, I don't think you need to talk, mate. You do need to fucking talk. So I said, right, mate. And you know, this is the nurturing thing. This is the, straight away, instantly, I could see a brother in arms was, you know, he needed someone to talk to. I was like, dude, take a fucking half day off, mate, this week. Whatever day is convenient for you. I'll manipulate my diary. You're more important, mate, than anything else, because you need someone to talk to. And let's go for a walk in the New Forest or fucking Salisbury Plain, whatever is around. I said, let's go for a jaunt, mate, and just put the world to right. Fucking sit down, we'll have a picnic, we'll have a sausage roll or whatever. And I said, we'll have some water. And I was fucking trying to get him to drink more water. And I said to him, let's fucking have a chat. Let's just get it open, you know, and it doesn't matter. I said, there's no judgment. We'll just go and have a chat, mate. Hopefully we'll come away with some fresh air and some spirit in us, and we would have got some stuff off our chest, and we'll move a bit forward. You know, we'll understand and unpick anything we need to. And if there isn't something, if there's some outstanding stuff, we take it away with us, and that's how we'll work on it. So I reached out, and you know, I can see it's difficult. I could see it. I could already see, and I was like, mate, we need to sort this out. So it's the importance of talking. And the reason I mention that is because, again, perception and noting, I felt his connection when he said to me, I need someone to talk to. And I was like, yes, you do. Yeah, fucking, and I'm your guy. And that's the importance of being there for your friend. When he says something, I didn't look at him and judge him and go, fucking hell, you're weak. Well, fucking hell, mate. Well, just man up, mate. What are you talking about? Man up, pick yourself up, buddy. What do you mean? Do you want to go out for a fucking drink? Let's go out for a drink. Let's get fucking wankered, mate. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go out. We're going to get fucking smashed, mate. And then we're going to fucking laugh at the hangover on the day after. Yeah, man, that sounds fucking cool. No, we're not going to do that, mate. We're going to talk. We're going to open up. We're going to fucking work our way through this. And we're going to show you that everything is manageable. That's the first step. And I could tell it was a big move for him. And I felt honoured that he was able to acknowledge that with me. And we're going to move that forward. And that's the importance of nurturing the right people around you. Listening as well. Like, listen out for the little key parts in conversations. And that's a prime example of somebody that I know. And I don't know him as well as, you know, it's not like we've had years and years of sort of, you know, sort of chatting and learning, you know, learning friendships and all that sort of stuff. It's just that, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is, who it is, how it is. You can see, and you strip all that away. That's a bonus if you've got a good friendship, and which we have. But he's got a lot going on, and you could see that, and you were like, mate, just fucking take some time out. Let's go for a fucking bimble. And that's perception. As well, you know, maybe, and this is another thing. I was talking to him today, and I said, mate, it's how you're perceiving things. And we were talking about, and we actually sat down, and I threw this at him as a sort of like a little bit of a sideswiper. I said, but you're always smiling, you're always jovial, you're always saying hi. And the first thing he said to me was, it's a mask. And I went, right, well. So I could tell he was ready to talk, because you don't acknowledge you're putting masks on. You don't say those things, I need to talk to someone, is probably, and then mention, you know, your traumas. If you don't want somebody, these are the three things I'm dealing with, James, want you to fucking jump in, let's fucking do this. Willing to, doesn't matter what it is. Listen, learn, move forward together, build those friendships, build that person back up, but, you know, instill the confidence back into each other, help each other along. This is the importance of acknowledging a brother that is listening and talking. He listened to me many, many times over the weeks we've been talking. And today I listened to him and I went, right, there's something here. Let's fucking go. Let's sort this out. So it's the importance of perception. And I think that what the interesting bit for me, the little caveat, the little snippet there, is the fact that how I perceived that one little situation really, really, really impacted the rest of my week, the rest of my weekend to a degree. I sort of kind of just, and even the anxiety about going into work, and even seeing him today, and I was like, fuck, I've got a day with him. And then he came round and he opened up the liner. I said, how are you, buddy? You know, and how's things? And the open liner was my helmet. Way, you fucking lock it up, mate. It's big, but it's blue. So that's my motorbike helmet. So it was just sat there. And it's been, do you know what? I've been taking my motorbike helmet in, and every time I take my motorbike helmet in, everybody says to me, what bike you got? The men do. They go, what bike you got, mate? And I say, oh, I got a scooter, actually. And they laugh. And I went, but I did have this. And I've got a photo of it with my helmet on top. And the reason I do that is because I'm like, no, I can. I've got a full bike license. I've ridden some nice bikes, mate. This is my little commuting beast. But eventually, you know, we'll see what's around the corner, what's on the horizon. So it's interesting how that's like a little thing that sort of got us going, got us talking. I'd lost a little bit of train of thought there, didn't I? So it's it that perception, and it opened up conversation. We had a really good day, real positive day, to the point where I said to him, look, mate, I'll see you later. And he's like, yeah, see you later, buddy. And it's nice. It's, again, that was just probably something I'd manifested a little bit. Maybe even he'd realized that I think he did sort of say, I know you were right about the, when we were talking about something at work, and I said, we need to do this. It's not you, mate, we need to do this. And he was like, I kind of knew you were right, James. And I didn't want to admit it because, you know, basically most of the problems and issues were caused because we didn't have this one thing in place that I told him 2 weeks ago we need in place. He finally acknowledged that. And he went, yeah, I could see that today. Hence the reason why, you know, we've come back. So I was like, that made me feel good. And that's the reward. I mean, you shouldn't have to wait to be feel good. But unfortunately, people can have such a big impact on our day. Every person depends. And that's why I always try to go around with a smile on my face. I try to go into work jovial, full of spirits. And everyone you say to me, you're always full of enthusiasm. I was like, mate, number one, I'm alive. Number two, I'm in work and I'm meeting different personalities. And number three, I don't know what you're dealing with. So I don't want to come in and be another miserable fuck that you have to deal with because I don't know what you're dealing with. So it's kind of like I'd rather attract positivity around me, that people feel positive around me, because I don't want to come in and go, you know, how's your day? And oh, fucking shit, mate. Because how many people have done that? How many people have been you've probably been that person. But how many people have gone into work and gone, yeah, I'm having a fucking shit time. Oh, yeah, fucking this. Oh, fucking. And just piss and moan about mental health, about yourself, or piss and moan about weight, or piss and moan about fucking, well, I'd say the weather, but the weather's justified because it's fucking beanbags out there at the moment. Sorry, I digress. But yeah, if you go into work and you're constantly bitching about, I'm fucking tired, or I'm fucking hell this, or fucking hell that, you know, if you're constantly doing it, you know, it's okay if you come back in on a Monday, I'm tired, why, you know, fucking blind at the weekend, or kids were up fucking late, whatever it can be. Yeah, it's understandable. If you're constantly doing it, and we had this one person at work, I used to work with him, and he used to fucking moan every fucking day he was tired, and to the point where he looked exhausted. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you, mate? Why are you so tired? You know, we're working on aircraft, buddy. You're fucking bollocks. I'm practically holding you up. And he was like, yeah, I'm so fucking tired. Literally found out he was going home from work at 5 o'clock. He was doing the minimum he had to do to survive and put his kids to bed. And then he was sitting down on his computer until 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And then having about 2 hours fucking sleep on the sofa, and then going to work and having to try and perform at work. And I'm just like, are you fucking stupid? That's not sustainable in any life, you muppet. But it was affecting everything. But when you get down to the root cause of it, you're like, mate, you're being the dick here. You need to reassess your fucking life, mate. What are you doing? Anyway, a little digression there. But it's kind of like all of these little details, these little nuances, they all feed into each other. And like I said, the main point I'm taking for today is my perception last week, it may have been justified to a degree. And maybe I'm looking at it because I'm trying to be a positive person. He was a good lad today, actually. You know, he thought he was wrong. And maybe I was like, because I did send him an email and I did say to him, look, man, I'm sorry if I stepped on your toes. It's your area of responsibility. You know, I was just trying to full on support you. So I did send a little bit of a preempter just to say sorry. And he probably didn't acknowledge it, but went, this guy, because I'm not trying to be a dick. Anyway, that, the winner chicken dinner on that one is the fact that, you know, that's my perception. I led away from there. I've come in this week, come in from the evening, and I feel jovial. I'm full of flu, cold. I can feel it coming in. My throat's fucking burning. I'm like, oh my God. It's a fucking nightmare. Anyway, I'm going to wrap up there. This was just short and sweet. I just wanted to spread some positivity on a Monday night, really, and just sort of show you that perception can be key. And like I said, you know, don't be that fucking guy or that person that goes in, pisses and moans about things all the time. You know, go in and be the person that's trying to spread that positivity. At the end of the day, we've all got things going on. And I mean, you've got to vent. It's trying to be, you know, trying to not sound like I'm being pedantic here and a bit fucking contradictory, saying please talk up and speak up, and then on the other hand, shut up, don't fucking talk too much. No, what I mean is, let's get the balance right. Let's talk about the problems, but let's also work on the problems. And that's the key part. If you're just going to piss and moan about shit and negative shit and this is fail fucking, if you're going to keep being that person but not actually do anything about it. And this is where I've had friends, and I say, look, mate, you've got to help yourself. It was like my buddy, when I said to him about his water, I was like, mate, you've had a scare, buddy. You know, you've got to help yourself, mate. So, like, I can't intravene or strip you, and I can't keep telling you every fucking 5 minutes to drink. So I was like, do it for yourself, mate. This is a real fucking thing. He's sort of like, and he actually, and to caveat that, he come in, he had a water bottle and he went, this is my second one. I went, mate, you're a fucking legend. And that's the key part. I'm supporting him, but keep jabbing on at him. But he's doing something about it. So he recognized it, did something about it. He's working on it. He's recognizing that I'm probably somebody who wants to listen. So he's opened up to me. So he's making those positive steps, and everybody around me is making those positive steps. That's the important bit. You've all got to do your bit. This is the key bit. There's so many bits in this fucking thing. Who's got my bits? That's what I want to fucking know. I was like, fucking, how many times can you say bit in a fucking minute, mate? Oh my God, I've exhausted myself. Fucking, it's because I'm thinking about Bitty. Anyway, I'm not going to fucking drone on. Like I said, this was short and sweet. Just a positive little message on a Monday. Just because it's easy to get swallowed up in our perceptions. And I think it's key that we... do you know what helped was the reflection side of things? Because I reflected on that Thursday and on genuinely how it made me feel. I acknowledged I could have probably been a little bit. So again, I spoke to everybody and everyone I spoke to, I was like, no, I acknowledge. I didn't mean it. I just say it as it is. I'm trying to help him, not hinder him. So I kind of like preempted everything, but then it just came to fruition in a positive way. And I was like, mate, okay. And that's the fucking saving grace. That's literally the saving grace. Is sometimes you've got to let it play out, or you've got to try and acknowledge. Can I work on it? Maybe if I can go and have a chat with that person. Is there a problem? That person might look at you and go, what the fuck are you on about, mate? Problem. Problem with what, buddy? It might transpire. It's all in your fucking head. But like I've said to you, if you don't manage those little things, they build up into big things. Before you know it, you're at the top of Mount Everest. And you've got no fucking survival gear, and you know, you've got no fucking food, and you don't know what to do. And that's the easiest way to explain mental health when you're up there. Because that's what happens. You keep adding the blocks, and you keep going up and up. Fucking hell, I'm keep adding blocks of fucking things I should be dealing with. And then before you know it, you're top, and you've got nothing left, and you're like, I can't get back down. Do you know what I mean? So I mean, that's a bit of a random metaphor, really, but it's just the way I am today. I tell you what, it's the man flu. I can feel it. It's almost like Venom, you know, when he's got that thing running through him. That's what I feel, but no power. He's taking the power from me, like Space Jam. That's the fucking movie where they hold the ball, and and all their fucking skills go into the ball. Michael Jordan, wasn't it? And Space Jam. That was a fucking brilliant film. What a fucking film. God, throw me back them days. They were the easy days, eh? Anyway, take care of yourself. Thanks. Hopefully this is just offer you insight about perception, really, and with a little fucking win-win story for me. So, yeah, it's just one of those things. Hopefully boost a bit of positivity in how we look at life, because sometimes we can be fed on those negativities. Anyway, shut up, James. Speak to you all soon. Take care of yourself and have an amazing week. Love you.